I said get your yawn out of the way. Good evening, folks. Welcome to Wobbly Players Syndrome, a 40K podcast presented by a bunch of Aussies who'd like to yawn at the start of a podcast to really build that energy up.
Just makes things a lot more exciting.
So get it out of the way. Just do it before we get live. Yeah, that worked well.
It was a long yawn. Well, we all just kind of like held it, trying to get through the yawn.
Yeah, I've also noticed after 60 episodes, you finally worked out, be quiet, otherwise we'll catch us saying something stupid. So there's a lot of just sitting quietly.
I said a bunch of stupid things.
I know, I go, get through the ad, come on! How is everyone, folks? Sorry?
I'm good. My phone said that Red Belly was live, so that's what my...
Yeah, so he's worked it out. As I said, it is Wobbly Player Syndrome, it is a 40K podcast, it is episode 61, and it's called... Are you the gatekeeper?
Are you the key master?
Thank you very much as well. Another subscription. Another month of a dancing... Oh, it's not the dancing guy. It's the old dreadnought.
I mean, that story checks out. I do feel like an old dreadnought.
it's a, almost... If I painted it green, it'd be you on the screen, mate.
I am suspiciously keg-shaped, so it works.
We should do those intros. So, hi, Michael. How are you?
Ah! Tired.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hi. I'm tired too.
Hi, Adam. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. What a wonderful team, energy-filled episode this is going to be. I reckon when we get to our actual main part of the episode, where we do talk about the topic gatekeeping, I reckon our energy might start getting a bit higher. We've got to remember, we actually wrote up a run sheet to try and keep us in control. It's going to be fun. So, hope you're having fun tonight. Proctor Healy, I know that guy on the bottom left. So, there you go. Proctor Healy says, hey mate, no, you've... It's the Star Wars show. Right, so, as usual, we'll go through our usual stuff and then we'll get into it. Sounds good? Sounds like a plan?
Yeah.
All right. Yep. So our usual stuff is the new releases. Radio Mike is back. Thank you for that.
I can actually speak this time.
Yeah, we tried it without you. I think it's the second time I've had to do that. Don't do it
Having
again.
A list helped. Well, it really helped.
I sent you guys the list. I could make it to the computer and do that.
Yeah.
So, what have we got? We've got everybody's favorite new Space Marines in Strike Force Agastus.
Agastus?
How do we even say
Agastus?
That?
I just went Agastus.
Agastus? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've ordered one, but those Marines look real dumb.
Yes.
Yeah, yes, they do. It's like they busted out Nerf guns or something.
Missile launchers aren't new. Like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel of missile launchers. Yeah,
one Everyone moment, says they should be shoulder launched, and I agree.
Oh, so Tabletop Titans, I can't remember the guy's name, but he actually changed it so the missile launcher part of it is on the shoulders. And then it's just a gun. It looks so much better.
See, okay. I think the Sergeant's gun looks pretty good with the big hunter-killer missile with the underslung thing. Like, that looks okay. It's the multiple pod things on top where they look like they've just stuck a bunch of shit on a Picatinny rail like some redneck.
Yeah, it's very tactical.
Well, yeah. there's the one that looks like... This is where the age group gets defined. There's one that looks like it's got number 5 head on it. Or the younger audience says it's got Wally's head on it.
Yeah, they're just weird looking.
Well, that's so bad. I can see what you mean.
Yeah.
they don't match that kind of like... Most Space Marine equipment has a kind of professional vibe. And that... feels jury-rigged. Which is not the Space Marine vibe.
You get a t-shirt. Yeah. You get a t-shirt.
You know, if they released an orc with that, I'd be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. That looks great on orcs. It looks fine on the side of a scout sentinel, you know?
Yeah.
Like it looks like it should be an orc weapon.
Yeah. It also might have worked if they were in Gravis armor, too.
Maybe.
No.
It's
sorry, there's no coming off
the gun. No, the gun itself, but if they did it with a Gravis arm with the shoulder launchers and stuff like that instead of that.
Mm. I also do love the world's smallest chain fed to the missiles.
Oh my god! Yeah,
like we have those though. They exist. They're like chain fed grenade launchers. Like they exist. That's a real thing.
No, but the belt.
The belt feeding the grenade rounds through. That's a thing we have in real life.
It looks
a little weird.
But it's going into the big rocket pod.
Yeah, the size doesn't match.
It's going into the Gatling thing on the bottom.
Regardless of all that, there is something in that box that is super cool. Let's focus on that.
That fucking dreadnought. Those fists. Time for fisting. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's why I bought that thing. I want that dreadnought. And I need more lieutenants in my life.
Well, who wouldn't?
I do like the box art. The box art looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that new dread.
It's a very cool dreadnought.
Yeah. I don't know.
Really, the new
dread. You do without the gun turret on top.
You probably don't have to put it on there. Usually, the gun on the very top of the dreads is optional.
Yeah. But you're right.
Yeah, it would be. There's no options anymore.
Hey, it's 9th edition. More guns, then she'll be ready. That's
yeah,
the whole point.
More guns. Just more guns. Like, they'll just be, like, strapping those pods from those fucking new Marines on everything.
Yeah. All right, what else?
We also had the boarding patrol, Chaos Space Marines, and the boarding patrol, Tyranids. In honor of Not Safe for Work, Mark, I've been asked to do some Age of Sigmar stuff, so I'm going to say that there was the Caradron Overlords battle tome and some new Caradron Overlords stuff, and a whole bunch of Regiments of Renown, which is cool. And the pre-orders for this week, we're finally getting the Wrath of the Soulforge King set, so new Azrael and Vashtor, which is cool. I'm very tempted to buy that box, even though the only model I want is Azrael.
You gotta have somebody to frame to fight.
I've got a lot of things for him to fight, though.
Yeah.
Well, now you'll have one more.
It's very strange they bring in a box both chaos. So, what else is
new? and then there's the dice set for that, and there's a bunch of boarding patrol boxes, Admech, Demons, Death Guard, Gene Seal Occults, new Imperial Knight and Chaos Knight dice, because why not? And the fucking plastic Typhon for Horus Heresy, which I really want to buy one because I've always wanted a Typhon and now they're plastic. Building giant tanks like that out of resin sucked.
I can imagine it would.
Or metal.
I mean, like, look at this shit. Look at that. Sucks.
Tell us what we really think there.
Yeah. Don't hold back. Yeah. Cool. And that's it?
I think that's all that's happened in the last month.
A couple of announcements were done. So the Snikrot new...
There were some announcements. I didn't include the
announcements. No, that's fine. I was just throwing it in now, but that's okay. Go on.
So we got... we got Snikrot. Well, what else was there?
The new book. The Ark of Omen. Vashtor.
Yes, that was... I said that.
I
skipped it. I skipped to the Wrath of the Soulforge King because
I was
excited. You're right. I didn't actually say Arcs of Omen Vashtor.
Yeah.
It was a silent Arcs of Omen Vashtor at the start of the sentence.
It was implied.
With an extra Q.
Yeah.
It's been interesting. I've got a few things, gone blank on a word that I would use here. So
a lot of people have been making a lot of hay about the fact that the new Farsight has the symbol of the hexagrammaton on his arm.
Yes. I don't know what that means because I'm not the lore guy.
The hexagrammaton is like the six wings theory of Horus Heresy Space Marine fighting. And it's the one which like the tactics of the Dark Angels are entirely based on.
Right.
The hexagrammaton, that they're like, you know, the fire wing, the dread wing, the death wing. Like, those are the six wings of the hexagrammaton, and that symbol is the symbol of that style of fighting.
Yeah.
So it's like, what the fuck's going on there? It basically made everybody who's been like, when's the lion coming? Just go into, like, overdrive.
Commander Farsight is the lion.
Yeah.
He's been metamorphosing into having hooves.
just weird shit coming out as a result of that thing being on there.
Very good. Cool. All right, let's move on. I want to get into our topic, so I'm pushing through. What do we do next? Hobby progress? Good. Adam, you're up first. Mm-hmm.
I've had a very productive month. Angron was actually first. He's finished. I did successfully finish 2,000 points of World Eaters. Are they the best? They're coloured. They've gone to the table really well in it. Look, Angron's not fully finished, but he looks really good up close. And he looks good on the table. Yeah. I was quite proud of the sword, actually. But yeah, it was practically this month was just pure World Eaters.
Wash or ink or whatever you want, shade that you put on Angron's armor has come out really nice. I got to see it in person the other day, and it's looking good.
Mm. No, it was really nice. So I'm happy the way that Angron is coming out.
Cool. I've done stuff. I haven't finished anything. I've been working on Zangors. Tried that spray black, then dry brush gray, and then use contrast. I like it. I like the technique. For mass models, which is what I'm treating these Zangors as, I think it's coming out nice. I do need to find a darker contrast for the armor, but I'm not going to. I think it works all right, so be it. And I have been working on trying to get more Tarion done. So I've done more work on him still. It is the longest model I've ever painted. Remember, I bought him when he was first released. So... and I got some proxy spawn that I've been painting as well. As I said, I haven't finished anything. It's not true. I did finish something, but I didn't photograph it. You'll have to use your imagination. Huh. It was Death Guard. So, there you go. I think I got something from Anthony, but he's not here at the moment, so I'm not sure what's going on there. It looks like he's got more jump pack guys with lightning claws. Is the veteran stern guards, they can have jump packs?
I imagine there might be the assault intercessors that he's been gluing jetpacks to.
But these have got lightning claws, which you can't have lightning claws for.
Yeah, I think he wanted to use... But
that means nothing to Anto.
I think the intention was to use Primaris Marines as assault Marines.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or as guard, probably.
Because their knee guards there look like... Primaris.
Oh yeah, he's definitely he's putting all his entire firstborn through the what is it called? The lexicon? No,
Rubicon. Rubicon.
Rubicon. Yeah. Which why not?
So named because of the Roman river that once you cross there's no going back.
Oh yeah. It didn't even click. But yeah. When you say it out loud, that makes sense. But there you go. Battle reports. Okay, the first battle report is, again, it's Anthony and Chris. Great one, Anthony. Where are you? But he did bring out his Blood Angels, and it was against the Harlequins. Do you remember the story at all, Adam? They did tell
us. I opened it, scrolled, and gets lost by the reading, but there is a fair bit. And they do a fantastic, like Chris and Anto do a fantastic battle report.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that narrative.
We'll make sure we put it onto our Facebook page so everyone can read the battle report because they're not here to tell us in person. But I will not give away who won because you have to read it now. but there was another battle on the same day. We did stream this one. That was a Friday night last week. Hope you joined us. If not, why not? Shake my fist at you. I realise I was doing that and realise it's a podcast. It could be awkward.
You could check out your history on your channel.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. You could. I will eventually get it up onto our Facebook, our YouTube page eventually. How'd that game go? That was Angron getting his debut.
I didn't really lose by much.
No, it was at only 11 points in the end. Yeah.
I didn't get that many Blood Tide points. I was really hoping to have a lot more Blood Tide points at the start of turn one, too, so I could actually do the extra buffs, because the mortal wounds and everything like that hurt me. So if I survived a bit longer and got a lot more Blood Tide points, I think I may have. I wouldn't have changed the result because you just had the end. At the end of the day, you beat me on primaries. Oh, actually, in secondaries as well. I just couldn't take that down. But yeah, it was fun. I dropped Angron at the wrong time, and everything just turned and went. Angron.
Yeah.
See you next
time. Every time I saw Angron, I was shitting myself. So everything. Yeah.
But yeah, I've learned to drop him at the charge phase because I could just spend blood type at whenever I want. So he can come down at any turn whenever he wants.
Yeah, and I found that
would have changed a lot different.
Yeah, at the end of any phase, you can spend the points to bring him back. So
yep, either in my phase or in Greg's phase, it doesn't matter. I can I've got 6 blood type. Guess what? Angron's coming back.
Yeah, so you know. One of the ideal ones would probably be after my shooting phase, and land there, then you're ready, then you can move your next turn and stuff. But yeah, he's pretty scary. You were hit when you did hit me. I didn't get up.
Oh, especially when I hit you with the super slam.
Oh, how many hits was it when you did the big one?
I hit you with 39 for the sweep, and then I hit you with I think 12. On the strength 12, and it was like massive amount, and it was just like, and I can't save that.
Yeah.
And realistically, you shouldn't be able to save from a Primarch's hit.
True. I did throw my Blight Lords at you, and they went, oh shit, I think we've just pissed him off. It did not work well. But Mortarion was on the board, and he is still a beast.
Oh, yeah, just annihilated. And Derek is the unsung leader.
Derek! My God, what a champion.
He turned the entire game around. Derek, I could not do anything.
So Derek is the foul Blightspawn. So if you give him the toxic vats, which you only put him on the field if you give him the toxic vats, but the wording of his is you can't attack first and you never count as charging. So that means the defender will always strike first. Yeah, and it was, all right, there's Mort. He gets the strike before Angron does. It was pretty brutal.
Mm.
Yeah. But in the end, only 11 points. So it's quite tight. Once I worked out my maths, I was very much doing it out of maths for a while. But hang on, that's not right.
It was midnight to 1 o'clock, so math is understandable.
It was fun.
Math is hard.
Math was hard, even when you write things down. Which I thought would make it easier. Cool. Alright, so that's our regular stuff out of the way. That was a nice, short, quick, get it out and done with, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
It's like we want to talk about the next segment, but with passion and joy and without the yawning. I'm looking at you. Yeah.
Unkillable Nork, the bodyguard. No.
What?
I just read Tinnies of the Travellers.
Oh, okay, yep. Oh, Anger is cool and all, but you ever heard of the unkillable Nork, the bodyguard? Yes, I have. For the 1 CP, he can do exactly the same as what Angron does for 8 blood tithe or 6 blood tithe points. So it's, you have Nork with the medic next to him, and for 1 CP, you bring him back with 8 wounds. Yes. There, I got that right. Tennis of Travels will let me know if I got that wrong. And if he does, I'll just ban him because I never get it wrong. I believe that's right. Cool. All right, so we're going to have a break like we normally do. It's a new ad break. It's a bit of an ad break that's in progress. There's no voiceover. So you just get to listen to music and look at the pretty pictures until I get someone to do a voiceover. It's worth it, though. It is something new that I'm part of. I'll explain a bit more after when we get back. It's still only 30 seconds, folks, so you better run. There you go, folks. Use the code Greg10, not Gregio.
Gregio goes somewhere
else. It's a Gregio. Gregio.
Yeah. It is something new. It is Nomad Track Touch. They do a lot of, as you can see, a bit of the ad there. Some light boxes. Gaming accessories. That's the best way I can put it. I've got, it's coming, it's on its way, a custom Twitch light thing for me with my name. It's going to be awesome! I believe someone else on this stream has also purchased something. But
Monte Healy may be watching.
Yeah, hence the reason I wasn't going to say who it was. But yeah, give yourself away.
Yeah, it's all right.
But if you're a fan of little knickknacks and stuff like that, they've got some gaming and some pop culture related to it. Check out the store. It's nomadtrek.store. Here's the other thing to it. Not only if you use my code, you get 10% off, but a portion of your funds do get donated to some very worthwhile causes. Those did pop up in the ad, such as 1% of the world. Oh my God. You can see how new I am as the ambassador here, can't you? Yeah. Sierra Club. Save the Children?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing to say anyway, but yeah. Trust Greg Eo, he'll save the children. So.
Let's have a look. Let's have a look.
You're going to check up on me? Yeah.
I'm going to see. So because there's like three or four charities that they do spot, three. That they do look after.
Yeah, there's three charities.
Donate to charities. So, well, our vision, bring people together, the end of the poor, our mission, save the children. 1% for the planet and Sierra Club.
So close. So yeah, if you are into some knick-knack stuff and really cool things like that, have a check out the website. Go nuts with it. Use the code Greg10. Get your discount. Do something for the world as well. Right, done. There's my advert. Longer than 30 seconds. Sorry. So we're going to talk about the meat of this episode. The episode 61 is called Are You the Gatekeeper? No, we're not going to talk about Ghostbusters. As much fun as that sounds, I would love to be doing that.
Well, yes, I am the gatekeeper.
Buddy Minis, g'day. So, gatekeeping, that's what the episode's about. Gatekeeping within 40K. We're going to try and narrow it down to just 40K, because you don't want to go too far down this path. It could get really ugly. We're also going to try and have a bit of a run sheet about it because passions could be quite excitable at this topic. I know, are you the keymaster? I know, but we're not talking about keymastering. it could be interesting conversation. We'll talk, we'll break it down, we'll go, what is it? What is the fear of that causes this? What's the ugly part of it? And then we'll talk about how we feel about it personally, which could be interesting because, you know, we've known each other a lot, but you could be dicks. Who knows?
Why, thank you.
Yeah, there you go. So what is gatekeeping? The terminology is controlling, limiting general access to something. That's in a nutshell. I have notes and I can't read my own writing. This is going to be awesome.
Well prepared, as usual.
I got it on my... It's the right book. gatekeeping in this point is people who are afraid of people changing their world, of their hobby and stuff.
Yeah, so it's like...
They should not be allowed to.
Like, generally trying to keep out the wrong type of person, in quotes.
Correct, because they're very precious about what they do. Hang on, let's not get down about my opinion.
Tinny's Travellers put in a good comment what he's gatekeeping.
Like my Titans Club for the last 15 years, not allowing custom Titans. Bunch of fucking gatekeepers. Yeah, and that's the other part. There is many different forms of gatekeeping.
Some are more benign than others.
Yeah. So that's probably what you've said, Tinius of Travellers, is probably at the lower end, because it can get real ugly real quick. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it can get real ugly real quick. Do we need to talk more about what it is? Because I think if we get into the ugly part, I think we could expand more of that level of...
Well, I think we've covered pretty much what it is at this stage.
Why is there fear for these people to feel they need to gatekeep, hold on to this hobby, and no one allowed to challenge their ways of it. What is the fear? Now, I heard some really good, doing my research. Yeah, we research this. It may not sound like it that we're professionals, because we're not, but sometimes we research this. But I heard some great ones. I was explaining to off air before some of the ones I heard. The fear of Ultramarines, because they're Romans, so they must be racist. What? Tau, because they're Japanese, so they must be racist. What? It's just these are some people. Now, I want to be very clear. These are not my opinions. They're not my comments. These are come from research from other people who do not belong in the hobby whatsoever. My favorite one, as I mentioned, is Nurgle is fatphobic. I mean, what? What?
Mm.
Yeah. So very strange things that people...
I think, the general fear, I think, that most people who are gatekeeping in the hobby have is that they have a particular way they want the hobby to be. And anyone who wants to do anything else is a threat to their way of playing. Because apparently other people having fun means there's less fun for you to have. But that's kind of it. They want to maintain the integrity of the thing that they love. That's usually why people gatekeep in any hobby, because they have an idea that they want to maintain.
They want to keep it to, I think one of the terms was specific standards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, controversy right here. Some standards, yes, I agree, should stay in the game, but that's not... Everyone should play anything that should happen in any media format. All right? Change the game, but doesn't mean I have to play the game. Anyway, go down to my opinions. Let's not do that.
Yeah, there are some things that could be said to be gatekeeping that can be good. Like, you know, ornaments have a minimum painting standard. That is a form of gatekeeping.
Correct.
But it just means that the people playing aren't showing up with grey armies. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's a fairly benign one. There are much worse ones.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a very good point. We have a very... We gatekeep in our group. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, if you're a giant piece of shit, we'll tell you to fuck off.
Yep, that's our gatekeeping. And I think we'll protect that one.
Why do I keep getting bloody?
is not perfect system.
No. Yeah.
It's not perfect, but it's the one we have.
Yeah. And Tennis and Travis, you are very correct, yes. you can read them. Yeah, so there are levels of gatekeeping, but I've seen a rise in some bad, bad, bad stuff. And that's why I wanted to do this episode, because I just wanted to rant, really. So I apologize if it's incoherent and frothing at the mouth stuff, but I'll try and control myself. The ugly part of gatekeeping. This is where I will hold back.
All right.
Some examples of ugly gatekeeping. One that seemed pretty innocent. The announcement that everybody's favourite hobbyist jumping The Witcher, going to 40k, and we're all going, yeah, losing our mind, Cavill, 40k, woo! Amazon's going to do their work. Ah, what? No, they can't touch this! Ah! And the rage. That was going... Because they'll make it all soft and squirrels like, what? You must protect it. Sign this petition to save our hobby.
Have they watched Warhammer Plus?
Has anyone ever watched the Wheel of Time TV series by Amazon?
Yes. I have.
That's actually really good. They've kept it to the book, and it's even more
Okay, because yeah. I haven't read the books. I've only watched the TV show. So
I stopped reading the books
too when they got signed on for another 9 books. I went, nope, I'm out.
I finished all the books, right? And it's actually, I enjoyed the TV series, and I also enjoyed the books. So, you know, I think Amazon may do a really good job. But I'm open to everything.
Well, Cavill's going to be, you know, hopefully have fairly good control of it. 40K won't let their IP be dragged through the mud.
I mean, you say to an that. Extent. There are so many terrible mobile games out there destroying the IP.
Like, in theory.
There is some trash with the name 40K attached to it.
Yeah. I'm just reading Tinius the Traveler's comment. Let's be real. There's gatekeeping in every aspect. Some of it's self-imposed, some of it's money-restricting, but it's the level you hold this terminology that becomes a problem. By too restrictive and you run the risk of alienating people. Be too lack and you'll have guys playing with bases and paper slips attached to them for identification. There's a fine line. Yes. Sprue Marines. Come on. You've seen them all.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I brought up...
I haven't seen that, but I have heard of it.
Like, the very concept of trying to encourage a standard in something isn't totally negative.
No.
Yeah.
That's
exactly right.
So
There's a big difference between your models must be assembled and painted, and you can't play because you are a woman or something.
Yeah. We don't want the girl cooties in here, no women because they ruin the hobby. Like that kind of lunacy shit.
So we're talking about the extremist sort of side of the gatekeeper.
Or even no kids should be able to play.
Yeah. So because you do need some standards in the game along the way. But what people call standards and what they're actual,
proper
standards. That's the big,
the golf.
Yeah, the golf. I'd like to play golf. Can I go play golf? See ya. Right. So that was one other thought, and that's when I started hearing the word, the term gatekeeping more and more because people were raving on YouTube about it. It was directed at the Amazon side of things for a long time. That's pretty ordinary. I said that makes no sense. Yeah, they haven't even done anything yet, but let's be angry at them.
Yeah. you've got to burn them after heresy is confirmed.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. Don't they?
There is a small subsection of the 40K fan base who are terrified of more people entering the hobby, just as a general rule. Because they know those new people are not going to have the same values as them. You know? So to them, they're like, but this is going to make it more popular. It's not going to be niche. It's going to become mainstream.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can still go down in your basement and play Second Ed like the rest of us nerds.
Yeah.
That's my opinion part where I'll get to that. Because, I don't get it. I think it's stupid, but that's not part 4 yet. We're still doing the ugly.
Yeah.
And then you get really ugly part of it, where abuse can be thrown at hobbyists because they're not a heterosexual male.
Mm.
They just get abused, get called tourist, the comments I've seen, because there are some great artists out there of all types, and just see what they cop is just unbelievable. I'm just going, keyboard warriors to an extreme. So that's the real big, ugly side of the gatekeeper. You can't be in this because you're a girl.
Yeah, when they try and harass out the people that they don't like.
Yeah, it is...
And then they turn around and moan that there's not enough players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why doesn't anyone want to play me? I can't get a game. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know why. No, it can't be me. It's got to be someone else.
Yeah.
Got to be all those people we kicked out.
I believe it's that. See that gatekeeping, don't be a dick part, really? Yeah. Yeah. It is ugly. Look, there are some, as I said, there are some great artists out there, and see what they go through and stuff like that. Look, I'm a white middle-aged man. I'll never understand exactly what they go through, but I just can't believe the abuse that people cop. And that's just not just in our hobby. That's everywhere. But we're focused on our hobby at the moment.
Hmm.
It boggles the mind. Boggles it, I tell you. Yeah. Someone else needs to talk because I'm going to rage.
Well, I mean, to form a proper opinion on it, we probably need some specific examples rather than just a general, oh yeah, hey, yeah. We've heard some general rumblings at various, you know, persuasions of people.
I'm very conscious of not giving any credit to the people who are throwing this at people, so I won't mention the culprits. If you want to find gatekeeping in 40K, it's very easy to find.
Doesn't take long to find it. But you don't want to give oxygen to douchebags.
No. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Here's a specific example. I know you can't play if you have 2K points. That's really weird. Why not? The whole game can be played at 500 points if you need to. Yeah.
I used to play with like 150, yeah.
Yeah.
It was literally all I had. It was like a tax squad.
That's weird. So there's a few people I follow on Instagram, for example, but who are no longer Instagram because of the abuse they copped. And they were being called a tourist, no girl should be here. You know, essentially, get back in the kitchen. What are you doing?
All right.
So now no one gets to experience the hobby and the person that they are. And they were, it's more than one, actually. Their art was great. Their attitude was great, but they don't deserve that abuse. Nobody deserves that abuse. And so they've quit. They can't enjoy the hobby anymore. Now, the whole point of the hobby is you're meant to enjoy it how you want to enjoy it. And you have no right to enforce how someone can enjoy their hobby. No right. Sorry. Calm down.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there who get very mad that someone else is having fun in their own way and not having fun the way they think they should be having fun.
Yeah.
And it's almost like buying too much into the attitudes of some of the factions and things too, because all the lore is filled with these, you know, heresy kind of black and white type, with us or against us type mentalities and stuff.
Yeah.
I suspect that some of these people, that really speaks to them in their day-to-day, and then they try to bring that out of the lore and into the real world.
Yeah, I mean, you see the terminology from 40K all the time when they start doing that kind of gatekeeping, you know. They're talking about fucking, you know, purging the furries or, you know, whatever.
Mm.
And you're just like, fuckwit, you're not supposed to be emulating them. They're not role models. Fuck.
Yeah, it's grimdark for a reason. You're not supposed to want it.
Yeah, I like my grimdark fascism to be imaginary, thanks.
Yeah. Keep it in the book. Keep it in the video game. That's fine. It's like it's like letting the warp out. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, I'm just remaining calm.
You really seem like you've got a bee in your bonnet that you need to let out.
As I said, it just boggles the mind how somebody can tell someone they've never met, have no context for who this person is or have any dealings with this person, but they feel that they have the right to say, you can't do that, or get out, you don't belong here, because you are filling up my what? You are affecting me by how? If it's an Instagram person or a Twitter person, you don't like what they're doing, don't follow them. It's not hard.
But that would defeat the purpose of hate following.
I'm so glad I'm not on Twitter anymore.
I'm ready to give Twitter up, because that's where I actually see most of the abuse on Twitter, not on Instagram. And it's an ugly, ugly platform.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll pay to get my blue ticket.
And this is why I stay in my basement. I don't go to the sewer, basically.
Yeah.
So we're going to just change it up a bit because I want to calm down and just focus on something else. Because Tinius of Travelers has been talking about his hobby group, who have a form of gatekeeping, which I find absolutely ridiculous at the moment. The example he has is you cannot play a game unless you have 2,000 points.
And it's a 44x60-inch board?
Yeah. It has to be 17, no less than 1750.
The 1750 thing I used to see a lot back when I used to play CanCon all the time, because at the time that was like the standard tournament size,
yeah.
And I knew so many guys who wouldn't touch anything unless it was like 1750 CanCon rules, and that you just couldn't play them.
Yeah, and I know for a while there the 2,000 point thing was a thing as well. That it just seems like a way to get less games. And I don't need that in my 40k life at all, you know?
Yeah, so...
I can understand if you have a preferred size, like, you know...
Yeah, but that having a preferred size isn't the same as going, no, I will never play anything under 1750 on pain of death.
Yeah.
How dare you suggest the idea to me that we play 500 points?
Yeah, like... There's a difference between I enjoy playing this size and this is what I want to play, and rolling up to a Facebook group and yelling at people who decided to play a different size about how they're fake gamers because they don't play the correct tournament size. You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And this is where Tiniest's thing, the owner of two Space Marine units and wanted to try them.
Yeah.
And that's precisely, turning around to a new player and going, you haven't even got 1750 points worth. You're not even worth playing. Like, chances are the person who's doing that is a kid.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have the money to go out and drop, $1,500 on models. Some of these dudes do. And to have them turning away players... just on the basis of you're a cock and you haven't, and you think that everyone should be rolling in money.
Yeah.
You know, that's the attitude, kind of attitude that really makes 40K smaller and worse.
Yeah. Yeah. 1750 is also, it's not only just a large investment, but if you can't try that army till you hit that point, how do you know what units you should be buying, using,
playing? Exactly, and there's how many factions out there? So you what's going to happen is you go, well, I just bought these and they're just an ornament, so I chuck them on a shelf and fuck those guys, you know, like...
Mm.
So, look, we generally play 2,000 points, but it's not because we have to. It's just, I think we just fell into the habit more than
anything
else.
My last like half dozen games have all been like 1500, I think.
Well, we had a tournament the other day and it was 1,000 points. That was probably the best day we had for ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got two games in the day. I managed to actually have lunch for once. It was brilliant. Loved it. 1,000 point games. Yeah. And I was playing NIDS. So realistically, I had the same amount of shit on the board.
Well, yeah, like when I played my son with the starter set from like the basic Strike Force thing, he had a great time.
Yeah. And there's rules to encourage it too. Like you can play the Crusade rules, for example, and it gives you a storyline how to build it up. You can play 500 points because here's a scenario you can play that will suit that.
As I said, I wonder if this is one of those things, one of those kind of whack gamer type traits where if it's not tournament rules and giving them experience towards their next tournament stomping of people, then they're just completely not interested. And I do wonder if that's the trap that some of these new players are falling into, is that they see a group of people playing and they go, hey, can I play? And they're like a hardcore tawny group, and they've got that dude, go away.
Your classic new person shows up, and the dude just crushes them with an ITC list and acts like a dickhead.
Yeah.
And the new player is like, well, I guess I'm shit at this, and I'm going to leave.
Yeah. Tennis and Travelers have huge promo with smaller forms of play. Yep. Now that being said, also a Titan owner has mentioned that no matter what scope of play, it's important to let others join with their capacities. Correct.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. I was just saying how much I've enjoyed playing small games lately, and I own multiple Titan maniples. Like,
And the thing was that, I mean, even we, with our big game at the start of the year, we've had many where we've had like half a dozen players, and they've only had, you know, 1,000 points or so, just so that A, it doesn't take all week, and just to get people playing.
We had the Swarm where we had 2 models for most of the players.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was cool.
That was fun. Yeah, didn't last so long, but it was fun.
I guess some of this stuff, I guess, almost stems from a lack of imagination, even. In some cases, they have this set sort of box that they live in, and the idea that anything exists outside that box just doesn't occur or doesn't compute, and then they go, it doesn't compute, it's not 40k, GTFO, you know, and that kind of thing. So, I almost feel sad for those type of players, because they're the type of person that if you go and have a game with them, they're not going to take the opportunity when it presents itself for something to be fun and cool and off the wall. They're going to be rules as written. This is how it is.
Yeah.
You know, burn the heretic.
Look, yeah, and everyone plays their own way. We've got a very relaxed player in the bottom left-hand corner here. If you ask nicer, he will let you go back to turn one to change something. It's great.
Fourth person of the year. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Yeah. And we did have a rule book player in the group as well. So we have 2 fairly large scales, but we all still get along. And at no point... Like, if I go play the rulebook person, I know what I'm going to walk into, and I'll still have fun. I'll go play against Adam, I know what I walk into, and
but the
I know
big
I will
difference,
win.
The big difference, though, with our rulebook people is that they take the opportunity to have
So, yeah, I wanted to make that point, because I wanted to say that people who play those ITC rules and stuff like that, not all of them are dicks.
Yeah. And that's the... That's the crucial difference there, is that you have people who can see how it is and sort of play by the seat of your pants a bit, as opposed to a rigid script and you will play this way and no other.
Yeah.
You know, like backing a land speeder into some craggy rock thing to try and jag an explosion chain reaction across the board isn't necessarily the best move to make in the game, but
hell fun.
When you're at the bottom of the fourth turn and you know the game is pretty much done, you're going to take that for the funsies, you know what I mean? Because we are having fun, remember?
Yes.
<You know?
laughs> So when I put this up in the group, not just these 4, the whole RLG group, someone did come back and say and suggested number 5 should be GW, the greatest gatekeeper of all time. Now, I didn't reply to that because I didn't agree with it.
I feel like they're actually better than they used to be, but at the same time worse than they've ever been. Like, they're at both ends now. There are a lot of like small scale entries into the hobby.
Yeah.
But because of those gatekeepers who think that you need to have a certain size army or whatever, it is very expensive, more than it's ever been, to get like a full army, like a 2,000-point army.
Yeah. So you're saying it's more the gatekeeping is more because of the price of the hobby, not by the actions of the hobby.
Those gatekeepers make the price super restrictive.
It's not even just the price of things, it's the scarcity. Like even if you have the money.
I've been trying to buy a fucking Sagittor since the Votan released, and I still can't get one.
Don't you only get them in December? Is that
and if you're if you're a new player and you want to play Votan...
Oh, I'll go get that. Get out.
You know what I mean? Like, but it's a valid point here, you know? Like, I mean, yes, the price is an issue, and let's face it, I mean, here in Australia we have our Australia tax and we're used to getting just completely cornholed by the price. But if you have the money and you cannot buy it...
Yeah.
I mean, there's no bigger gate than not being able to get the thing.
Well, yeah, like, a while back there, okay. I spent, like, 6 months trying to get an Imperial Guard Basilisk, and I couldn't find one. I ended up buying, like, a 1990s Imperial Guard Basilisk, because that was all I could find.
Yeah, look, I tried to get one not long, a few months, and just couldn't find them. It was good. So where my head was at with the gatekeeping is how to get people into the hobby. Yeah, the price is always going to be expensive. That's never changed since the day GW existed.
Yeah.
That's a consistent.
It's gotten worse. It's always not been great, but like when I started, it was, you know, $7.50 for a cavalry guy or $30 for two squads of Imperial Guard. You know,
well, maybe because I had no money and I was going, I want that, but I can't because it's $15 for a blister that gave me three models and stuff like that. Yeah,
getting people into the hobby and gatekeeping. All that, I did watch somewhere this afternoon where these two guys were talking about it, and they're gone. Yeah, I play Darktide, and that's great. That's one way of the lore. And he goes, and other people, they read the books.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Embrace their love, and then go, hey, look, here's a mini. What's your favorite character? Oh, look at this guy, you know, and stuff like that. And don't stop them, but embrace what their love. Don't be the blocker.
So I'm trying to get to what's going on in chat, and I've got a point about this as well, where I feel that they've done a lot more improvements with getting people into the hobby. Price point is always going to be there, but with the starter packs and things like that, the complication is obviously the stupid amount of stratagem rules and stuff like that. But as Jacob was saying in chat, he did a learner game and he cut all the fat out and had fun showing the basic rules of the game, and it's that entry level for someone, apart from the cost, to get something like starter boxes or the combat box and stuff like that, it's so much better than it was when I first started playing, where you basically had to buy a blister, then another blister, and another blister. So yeah, they've improved that for that.
It was either the big battle box or pick at it with whatever units were on sale individually.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, that's what I meant by they've kind of made it better, but it's still super expensive. Like, armies are bigger than they've ever been before. The models are more expensive.
Points keep going,
like,
yeah.
Back in, like, you know, 1989, armies were really small.
Yes, I know. I saw a photo recently. Here's a 2000 point. It's like five models. It was hilarious. Yeah. Buddy Minis just wants to point out he has no troubles getting minis. Grows up in the streets of the UK. So. Should we ban him now or just later on?
No, I won't hold it against you.
Yeah, we live in Australia. We have to, like, fight off the fucking emus that steal our shit off the war.
And we lost that war!
But if you feel like setting up a freight forwarding outfit, we might be able to sort something out.
Yeah. But you're right, Tinius of Travellers, this is a luxury. And I've always said it's not a novice beginner hobby. It is a gold... sort of not gold standard, but close to it because of that cost price. So that's where, but if you've got the funds, there is a way to get into it a lot easier with the starting
point. Yeah, but again, I mean, the new blood is in high school now. And you know, like, what I mean? Like you don't want to be playing some crusty 80-year-old who thinks that, you know, it should only be played in second ed in the basement on a 6x4 table
I've run across people on Reddit. Like, I remember one post, there was this kid who was like, I'm 15, I want to play 40k, none of my friends are into it, everyone at the hobby store is like 20 and they don't want to play a kid.
Yeah.
Mm. What do I do? You know, so...
Kick them in the shins until they play.
Yeah. But yeah, like Games Workshop, they've done a lot of things to help people get in right at the bottom with little bits.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they've got like the Warhammer Club that you can get like Games Workshop sponsorship to start off at schools and stuff, mm-hmm. where they give the club a bunch of free minis and free terrain so the kids can do little games. The problem is that when you get those gatekeepers who are like, that's not a real game, you're a bunch of, you know, you're a bunch of amateurs. That's
tourists
and children.
But see, the other dimension to that as well is that you have these small form games, so you'll buy like a First Strike set or something like that, and you have enough to play the little game, but then it's not enough to be a whole unit in regular 40k, so you're like, then you're running around trying to find an extra three models or whatever, and of course they'll only sell you 10 or whatever.
Yeah,
that's
look, I'm not saying they do it well. I'm saying there's a way to get in. It's a lot easier to get in than it was.
But this is why we say it's gotten better, but also at the same time worse.
Yeah, they giveth and they taketh away.
Yeah, it's still a business. They've got to make money, and we get to buy a 3D printer. I mean,
and this is what breeds cynical adults. Who play GW stuff and go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that terrible thing from GW, I'm surprised it wasn't worse.
Yeah.
I mean, things like Conquest and Imperium are really good if you're like, you know, if you've got a parent like me who buys it for your kid.
Same here. Like, for my kid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's absolutely for the kids, not
for the
me.
Kids, yep.
Yeah. Man, my son's done so much more painting than me this year. He's painting up his Death Guard. He's learning to paint. I've got him like a painting station. I should have done that as my hobby progress. Yeah, I helped my son learn to paint.
There you go. just, as I said, just trying to catch up with chat. So talk amongst yourselves. The hobby's as big as your budget. Yep. Don't feel bad for the kids. They have tablets, PCs, and phones. Yeah. Yeah, true.
But yeah, you know,
rule of
like
intent, rule of intent's a big thing to us travelers. We did have someone who played as written, not as intended. They don't play with us anymore. Did you intend to move there, stop there, forget to spell something? Oh, look, we do that all the time. Adam and I think if you watch our streams, we're around for good. Hang on. Can I just take that back? Yeah. Don't forget your... Oh, yeah, good point, yeah.
So, unless I'm winning, then it's like, no.
I'm terrible for it.
Hence, I've never won the sportsman. Sports person.
I'm terrible for being like... I'm terrible for being like, hey, have you forgotten my ability? Like, that unit's fucking annihilated if you don't move them.
Look. But it's part of the game, though. You want to have fun. We don't play... Look, this is not a tournament. We don't play tournament and stuff like that. So, of course, we're here to have fun.
Yeah.
I know.
And I just want to make sure my opponent has fun as well, because they're not accidentally screwing up massively because they weren't paying attention for a second.
Yeah.
But... I mean, any time you could bust out a Flamer template, I mean...
but
sometimes you have to stay quiet for that, for the rule of cool.
Flamer templates. Look, we've got templates. We no longer have templates unless you're playing... Kill Team has templates? Is it Kill Team? One of the formats has a template again.
Necromunda still has
templates. Necromunda's got the templates. Yeah, so he's something at it.
Like a real game.
I only play if we use templates.
Yeah, I only play Necromunda if we use cardboard templates like real players. None of this plastic shit.
Being that I Gotcha Player is also a form of gatekeeping. Personally enjoy a game of every intended strategy. I'll point out, hey, you won't be able to deep strike around these guys when 12. Yeah, because you know what? No one knows every rule.
Yeah.
That is... Probably the number one rule of 40k is rules will be forgotten.
Especially
with, as we've complained, the sheer amount of rules creep and extra books. There's just so much stuff to know now.
Yeah. And you're flicking through five different books or whatever. cards and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing they've improved on. You don't usually have the five books anymore. You can have the one really great app, Battlescribe. Now...
I disagree with you, Tiniest. There was one perfect game of 40K and the Emperor played it. And look where that got him.
He tried to retire. Didn't work
Don't
out.
Don't ruin it. I haven't got there yet.
Look, sometimes you just decide your opponent getting the Slayer Warlord is worth trying to kill their Warlord.
Yeah. No one's ever played a perfect game. Oh, well. I don't know.
Except for Big E. See, nobody can argue that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an argument. How's he doing work at the moment? Yeah.
Oh, I never said it ended well for him, but, you know.
Just like his son, the lion, he's just having a nap.
Maybe he should have forgot a rule or two and he wouldn't be where he is.
Yeah.
He ran out of CP. That's it.
Yeah.
Sly Marva. Yeah, he's always got the perfect game. Good point.
Just disappear.
I know there's something Debo was going to say then too. I forgot.
But
good.
I think in terms of gatekeeping by GW, I think that's probably not the worst of it by a long shot.
No, I don't. As I said, I didn't agree with the comment. I thought they've actually improved. I'm not saying they're perfect. I said they've improved in being more flexible in getting into the... including the books. As you said, the books... they went very backwards with the Warhammer Plus, taking that off. If you ever want to watch stuff, you have to go there. There's the paywall there. But even with the mini games, the Warcries, the Necromunders, it gives an avenue to play smaller matches. You don't have to invest heavily into buying all the separate books and stuff like that, and still enjoy the model painting. But
you also have the, you know, the PC games. You know, I was sitting here before watching my boy play Darktide. You know, so you know he enjoys the game. So yeah. Hey, congratulations! Yeah, you are playing Warhammer.
Yeah, but that game's gatekeeper. It won't run on my PC, so I'm clearly being targeted.
Yeah, that doesn't like my connection very much.
So clearly being targeted.
This is anti-Australian gatekeeping.
Yeah. Oh dear. So just looking at more chat. It's a very busy chat today, folks. It's exciting. It's great. We want to hear. We want to hear comments and opinions. It's not always about me. Yeah, funny. There's a lot of things I'd like to add, but I just think I've turned into a rant. So I feel like I shouldn't. You see comments... This is going back towards the real extremists. No, I shouldn't do it.
Yeah, like just the people who aren't gatekeeping the game, they're gatekeeping like
the people,
socioeconomics or ethnicity or some bullshit.
Yeah, and I just want to highlight with Games Workshop improving some of the diversity in their units. It actually has been happening.
Yeah, stuff like the "You Will Not Be Missed" speech.
Mm. Yeah.
Like they've actually started to take a bit of a stand and be like, you know what? There are some toxic parts of our fan base, and they need to fuck off.
Yeah.
So that's been good to see.
Yeah.
Well, like that Nazi that got kicked out of that tournament. That was great.
Yes. Again, I just boggles the mind.
Yeah.
How that can happen.
Somewhere someone is doing something stupid.
But yeah, as I said, it boggles my mind that anyone would consider that less players is a good thing for the game.
But it's my hobby. You can't, it's my hobby.
I thought it
That's
was
the
my
attitude
hobby.
Though. It's my hobby. Yeah. How dare you intrude on it?
And like, well, with a lot of hobbies, some people just have this opinion that like kind of seeps in, that if someone else is enjoying it in a different way to them, maybe they're wrong.
Yeah.
And they don't like to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they would rather get rid of the people who make them feel wrong.
Yeah.
As I said, it's an alien concept to me, because you do your hobby how you
correct
do it, and what? How does that affect me in my basement? You know, like,
yeah.
If you don't like playing Ninth Ed, well, nobody's telling you you have to.
Go find the other basement dwellers that like to play 7th or 5th whatever edition happens to float your boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, I know a person who painted up like a Hello Kitty Sisters of Battle army. If you don't that's like so that, cool. Go play someone else.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the off-the-wall stuff. I mean, that was what brought me to the hobby in the first place, was just that... You could do, and as a lore guy, you know, with the two lost legions, and that
where they gave it.
Well, probably we don't know. It's been expunged from record, but it could literally be anything you want, and they purposely left these things open ended so to foster that. Hey. I want glitter marines, or I want this, or I want that, you know, and look at orcs, you know, that is purely made for kit bashes. 100%.
Oh, that was talking about this the other day on the stream. That was my first army, and I had orcs running around with balloons and gasoline tanks strapped to them, and I was having so much fun. Yeah.
But to argue that there is only one right way to play when orcs and things like that have been baked into the game for the best part of, like, what, 40 years now,
yeah.
I think you're kidding yourself. You know what I mean? Like the
taglines for Ninth
is literally there for your imagination to run wild and do what you feel works.
Yeah, orcs have got the rules of, you know, red, they go fast. Purple, you can't see me.
I know. That's who's sitting here.
I know.
It's a purple orc just here. Yeah,
you know, it's like people who get mad about scratch builds and conversions and stuff, and one of the first white dwarves I ever bought told you how to make a grav tank out of a fucking stick of deodorant. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was great. And there was a Thunderfire cannon one as well that was...
Yeah, but they got a rhino and they used, like, toilet rolls or some shit.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, purple orcs are nowhere in canon, never mentioned once. That's 100% community made. Because nobody's found
exactly. Them. Yeah, they're the stealthiest of orcs.
Yeah.
Mm.
I've never seen one.
It's true. True.
As GW used to say, everything is canon and nothing is canon.
Yeah. And the thing is that, yeah, I mean, there are going to be retcons you don't like.
Hmm.
You know.
The universe is a big place. The universe is a big place. Dumb shit happens.
Yeah. And, yeah. Well, even at Ninth, I think one of the big things that GW said was, play how you want to play.
Yeah, like Games Workshop have been getting more and more aggressive about this. There is no one true way.
Yeah.
Like, there's like four or five, like, kind of official ways in the books.
Yeah. Then you can have house rules.
Yeah, like, they harp on about it. It's like, no, you can play how you want because they're your fucking models.
Correct. Yeah. Again, I just, yeah. There's a lot of thing in this world. I was going, what gives you the right? You have to tell someone else how to do stuff. It just makes no sense.
Unless I believe
you will do the dishes.
I believe if you pay for my models and you paint my models, you can tell me how to play.
Nah.
No, yeah, no. But you know,
no, I'm done. No. No, I don't.
No, but
thank
you, know
you
what
very
mean.
Much.
Yeah.
If you pay for me to play and go, here you go, here's this, by the way, I'm going to tell you to play. All right, no problems. But I've paid for these. I pay in the way I like them. I'll play the way I like it.
Hmm.
Yeah. This hasn't been too bad of a red.
It's like how Greg Salamanders are the wrong colour. None of us rag on him about it. Look, they do look amazing. I've said this repeatedly. They do look amazing. Hey, look, I'm in a glass house. My Dark Angels are like four different shades of green.
It is interesting when people put up, this is what I painted 4 years ago, this is what I paint now. Yeah. I go, yeah.
It doesn't help when they change the paint colour.
Yeah. Yeah, every time they change the Dark Angel green colour, I'm like, fucking hell.
Well, my Katajana blue, so, you know, and my Death Guard art, the typical Death Guard colouring, I don't care. I'll still play them how I want, I'll paint them how I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you think about it, colours are just social constructs.
Yes.
Very good.
Colour is just a social agreement.
Yeah.
What's red? That's red. So's that. My son argues with me about what counts as yellow and what counts as green.
Okay.
He's like, no, that's yellow. I'm like, no, man, that's highlight. That, oh, actually, I was probably like, that's fluoro yellow. And he's like, no, that's green.
Oh, the fluoro yellow and that fluoro green. Yeah, I can see where the argument comes from that, because I've had that argument with Cass.
Yeah, because my son's favourite colour is yellow. So if you get him
canary yellow?
Australian gold! So if you get him something that's fluoro yellow, he'll be like, but that's not yellow. I like yellow.
So get him one that's fluoro yellow and one that's fluoro green.
Yeah.
And see if he can tell.
He'll just say, those are both green, Dad. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Can you gatekeep a colour?
Only if it's mauve.
Yes.
Mauve.
For those listening at home, I held up a Citadel paint pot.
Yeah, it is frustrating. Anyway. Yeah. We've been ranting a little bit.
I held back a little bit.
I think, yeah. It's something it drives me nuts when I see it, and I will speak out about it, and it blows my mind that this is in our society. In general. Just going, but I wanted to highlight this because I've seen a lot more instances of it in the social media at the moment, including Reddit as well. So it's just, don't be a dick. It's not that hard. It really isn't that hard.
Yeah, for some people, the compulsion is very difficult to resist.
Yeah, some people are like 90% dick.
I'm right here again.
Well, it's no fun to tell you behind your back. I mean,
yeah. Well, that's if you're going to tell them,
yeah. Like, where would the fun be if we weren't seeing you? You know, like, just.
All right, so we wrap it up, or we've got some more things we'd like to talk about regarding gatekeeping.
I think that's probably all I've got for it.
Yeah. So I think in the end, there is a good gatekeeping thing, and that's our gatekeeping is don't be a dick, right? If you're a dick, you're out. That's a good example.
Picture models, put them together.
Yeah, if you're playing a tournament, there will be rules you need to adhere to. There is a standard for tournaments.
Yeah.
Then that's fine, because you're walking into that with very clear expectations and that.
Yeah. And, like, if there are, like, hateful, abusive, shitty people, they can fuck off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's good gatekeeping. People who are, like, actively damaging to be around? No.
Yeah. Hating on something before it's actually happened? Probably not great.
Yeah.
Yeah? Let them stuff it up before you hate on them? Yeah, no.
I mean, get carried away here and say to set your expectations at a high level. But, yeah, you know, wait for them to fuck it up first.
Don't hate, just you know, hate.
You have to confirm the heresy before you burn people.
And even that, if it doesn't affect you, fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simple message, I know. Cool. Good. Excellent. I don't know where I'm going next. I'm going to have an adrenaline dump soon. Yeah. All right, so we'll wrap it up. We'll wrap it this month. If you do want to continue your opinions, this, feel free to leave some comments on the Facebook page. If it's really abusive, you will be gatekeepered.
It's moderated, let's be honest.
It's moderated, yes, correct. In the end, you don't have a right to tell other people how to do their own hobby. Right? And at the same point, you get to do how you want to do your hobby. No one can tell you. Right? If you want to do it this way, go ahead, do it that way.
Yeah, find like-minded individuals, play with them.
Correct.
Yeah.
If you've got a hobby group, if you're in a hobby group that have very strict rules, like you were saying, Tennis and Travis, see if you can find at least one other person outside that and just get a different experience. I know it's not always easy, if you, depending on what the community is like around you, but yeah, it's not good to have that. That's just weird what you were describing, how that 750 or more, nothing less. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially weird when you have, like, really niche ones. Like, you know, you'll see groups like some heresy groups get super hardcore about, you know, army consistency because it needs to be correct for the legions, or, you know, you can't take those models because that doesn't feel right for the legion you're playing. Or
you can't, that equipment was only listed, you know, Lunar Wolves, or
your mark of armor is incorrect for the time period. Like, yeah.
All my white skies are on foot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Yeah, cool. We should move on. As I said, there are some great artists who you should check out. I'm just trying to remember the Father of the Black Sheep. Katie plays 40K. She works for... Oh, come on. It's one of my favorite battle reports they do.
Tabletop Tactics.
Tabletop Tactics. Yeah. So, yeah. So she's got her own. This is Instagram. Random Citizen Arts, another one you should check out. Electric Eve. Yeah, I got that right. Yeah. The Warhammer Girl. War Hannah Minis. Trans Sister, we often raid after I do my stream. Her color that she gets is just stunning. Anyone else you can think of top of your head, folks? Look at them all drawing blanks. You can see they're all big social media people. Norn Queen Alexis painting. Yep.
Painting is one I follow on Instagram. Yeah. She does a lot more of Sigma stuff, but she's quite good. She paints for her husband.
And we're pointing these people out. Just enjoy their work.
Yeah. They are great people to hang out with. I think that's all. We should probably wrap it up and get over an hour stuff. As you saw the new ad, if you do go to Nomad Trek Touch, that's nomadtrek.store, you can find some really exciting stuff to buy. Buy it all. And some of that money will go to charity. Look, I'll be up front. I do take a bit of that money too. I am now a charity. No, that's not right. make sure you do use the code GREG10 when you do stuff. Not Gregio. GREG10. You can also support the podcast by going to Wobbly Player Syndrome. Sorry. You do need a bit more than just that. You do need to go to Buzzsprout.com, Wobbly Player Syndrome, and you can actually subscribe. You don't have a lock-in. You can do a one-off if you want. You can always subscribe to the Twitch channel, Red Belly. Any and anything that you want, I will not say no. We appreciate it. It does help us with that. We do have some running costs, so it does help us keep us going. 61 episodes strong. Woo!
Woo!
Yeah, yeah, we've still got a hangover from our 60th.
Yeah. That's why we're tired.
It feels like it was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. You can find us on Facebook, RLG40K. You can obviously follow the group on Instagram with RLG40K. There's a pattern here. And if you can, please subscribe to our YouTube. It's not called RLG40K. It's called RLG Real Loud Gamers. Fooled you all. You make sure you do follow Adam at... on Instagram.
Pronto40K.
Make sure you follow Anthony at... oh, shit. Bulldust40K. He's not here. And you can also follow me, RedBellyBlack, on Instagram. If you are listening to the podcast and not watching us here live, you can catch up with me on Twitch on Thursdays and Tuesdays, the hobby nights. We could talk about fun stuff. Yeah. I won't rant and rave unless you tee me off. Whoa. What did I hear? So, I heard a great comment. I'm so angry. You've made me... what was it? I'm angry enough, my nipples are tingling. So, sure. What? That's how you know you're angry.
You know you're angry when you've got the spicy nipples.
Yes. Anything else? Did you want to promote anything, you three?
Nah. I'm good.
You're done? You're good? I want to say thank you to everyone in the chat, Titties of Travelers, with your insight of what's happening in your gaming world. It's weird, man. That's strange. I haven't seen it. It just makes no sense. Why would you do that? Buddy Minis, thank you for pointing out that you have no issues because you're in the UK, and it's just that you've just walked down the street and there's 40k miniatures on the street. Want to bash this? Turn left. Yeah. It's great. And Joker, of course, putting your two bits as well. I'm rambling now. I'm going to go away. Say goodnight, Michael. No, not you, Michael. You've got to do the sign-off. Goodnight, Adam.
Goodnight.
Goodnight, Mark.
Night.
Goodnight from me. And now we'll give it back to Michael. See, he wasn't here last time. It threw us out.
So, how many gates can a gatekeeper keep if a gatekeeper did keep gates? Hopefully, a whole lot less, because more people in the hobby is good for the hobby. But we certainly don't gatekeep our content, and you can join us next month for more Wobbly Player Syndrome.